public safety concerns that we now have in the 21st century.
They're actually going to take a bunch of debris, shoot it into the preventer itself, and see if they can clog it up and stop bleeding.
If nominated and confirmed, Kagan would become the youngest justice on the high court.
The work that lies ahead.
It's time to take a look at agenda, and there's a lot on this agenda, so we're going to move through these and try to give people a rundown of the week ahead. A whole slew of crises in the news this week, and joining us to sort through them, Marcus Mabry, Associate National Editor for our partner, The New York Times, suffering currently from allergies. Also, Derek Ashong is host of The Derek Ashong Experience on Sirius XM's Oprah Radio. Okay. So, three crises here. Marcus, let's go one by one.
Yep.
First, this oil spill, but they haven't contained it yet, but already they're talking on Capitol Hill about how they might prevent the next accident.
Well, the problem here is, as you said, it's an ongoing crisis. It's extraordinary kind of the solutions, quote-unquote, that are being thrown at it by BP. And the idea now of building barrier islands, actually, you know.
Right.
None of this portends well, and so far everything they've tried has failed. So it's a scary environmental disaster. The problem is it's hard to imagine that, you know, hearings in Washington, which will certainly probably give us great detail on kind of what happened and what went wrong. It's hard to imagine at this point in the game they're really going to supply solutions, however. They're going to make a difference. The solution is going to be found right now in the Gulf and in technical means, really not in what's likely to emerge as a lot of political finger-pointing from Washington.
Well, maybe they might have more success when they're dealing with what happened with the Dow Jones. Last Thursday it dropped almost 1,000 points, then it kind of rebounded most of the way, and they're talking also in Washington about how they might prevent that from happening.
It was an extraordinary moment. It is possible in Washington they might actually be able to come up with more regulations on things like electronic trading. We think right now, and this is really important to underline about last week's kind of shock on the street, we think, we're not sure of why it happened. We think it happened because of a difference in trading systems and electronic trading systems that do not slow down, whereas the big board in New York can slow down trading. Those electronic trading systems are independent and actually sped up trading when New York was trying to slow it down.
Robots versus people. Yeah.
Well, the Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, Derek, let's go to another crisis, and that was the attempted Times Square bombing. Well, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder announced yesterday on Meet the Press the White House wants to expand authorities' power to not read Miranda rights right away. Here he is.
We want to work with Congress to come up with a way in which we make our public safety exception more flexible and more consistent with the threat that we face.
Derek, what do you think about this? Is this a big deal?
I think it's definitely a big deal, and it's kind of a slippery slope because I think we can all come to an agreement that the terrorists cannot effectively destroy the United States in a physical sense. But if they do manage to undermine the kind of freedoms that make this a unique democracy and an exemplary one, then effectively the terrorists may in fact be winning at their game even with the failed bombing. So I think we've got to watch this closely.
Okay, Marcus, let's talk a little bit about Hamid Karzai. He's coming to Washington for a week of meetings with U.S. officials, including the president. What are we looking for here?
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see kind of who makes amends here first and who apologizes. This is an alliance that is deeply unsettled. This is an alliance where both partners, both Karzai and the White House, would rather have someone else at the other end of the line in Washington and in Kabul. It's not a happy relationship. So it's going to be interesting to see how they actually dance around the fact that they need each other out of necessity, but they'd rather have another partner. So it's going to be a really interesting diplomatic dance to watch. And probably next to whatever fireworks come out of the, if any, out of the Kagan announcement this morning, it's going to be interesting, the biggest political show in Washington to watch other than that.
That's the expected nomination of Elena Kagan to as the next U.S. Supreme Court justice. And Derek, since we're speaking about the U.S. military in Afghanistan, you've brought us a story about the first ever warrior games that kick off today in Colorado. These are an Olympic-style competition for wounded soldiers. Tell me about this.
So basically, the concept of the warrior games is to give an opportunity for these soldiers who've done so much for their country to kind of be back into that mentality of sense of pride and of strength in a competition, but it's focused specifically on those who've already been wounded. And I think that it's a powerful concept. You know, you've seen a lot of uptake. There was a piece in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago about this this thing called Tough Mudder, which is basically a kind of like a triathlon for guys that want to do really, really tough stuff. And I think that since you've seen this uptake in people wanting to be involved in physical challenges, and since you've had the existing success of things like the Paralympics, if you have something for wounded warriors, I think it's going to be a great way to reflect that we still remember the value of our veterans after they come back from war, and we want them to see the value of themselves as well.
Okay, that is the Warrior Games going on in Colorado. Speaking today, starting today, Marcus, on Saturday in the week ahead, the Episcopal Church will consecrate the second gay bishop. This is Mary D. Glasspool. And I'm wondering, A, do you think this changes the story because it's a gay woman? And B, now that she's the second, is it going to still be as high profile a story as the first one?
It'll definitely be as high profile. I think what we're watching actually is kind of a division in Christianity, a kind of new schism almost, in which you'll have some churches and some denominations, and certainly in the case of the Episcopal Church and its broader kind of international brotherhood, the Anglican Church in the UK, which is the start of it all, the font of this denomination, you're going to have this continuing cleavage between certain parts of their denomination until you have a kind of African, largely African, centered conservative church and a kind of more liberal, socially liberal American church. And it's actually not clear in the end where the UK is going to come.
It's a north-south divide. I mean, it's a big, giant, it actually mirrors divisions in the world.
Absolutely. Although it's also true, we should say there are lots of American congregations that are kind of signing up to that conservative, kind of southern branch of it.
Okay, so Derek, we have two birthdays to celebrate. The first one is today, a beautiful day for U2 frontman, renowned humanitarian Bono. He turns 50 today.
It's a beautiful day.
On Thursday, Stevie Wonder turning 60. So, Derek, what do you think? These are two icons and aging.
Yeah, I think it's big. I mean, it's wonderful to see that we're moving into this phase where some of our rock legends are coming into their silver years. I think that with Bono, the thing to look at is what is happening with Africa. You know, the second phase of his career has really been as an advocate for change on the ground in Africa. I think what you're starting to see happen on the continent, though, is people are starting to make some of the most substantive changes themselves.
Yeah.
So as Bono transpires into this latter phase of his life,
right,
I think some of his work is
looking back at their legacy. Derek Ashong is host of the Derek Ashong Experience, and Marcus Magri with the New York Times.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.